This is a Chronicle podcast, bringing you ideas in the service of medicine.
From the Chronicle podcast system, this is Vendor on Psoriasis with Dr. Ron Vendor. Based on the popular Vendor on Psoriasis column in the Chronicle of Skin and Allergy, Dr. Vendor provides brief synopses of recent significant clinical developments in psoriasis research and provides his observations and comments to accompany each report. In each episode, Dr. Vendor will answer questions and offer his expert observations and anecdotes on treating this chronic disease. If you have a question for him or want to be in touch at any time, just send an email to vendor@chronicle.org. That's V-N-D-E-R at chronicle.org. And, if you attach a voice clip, we might even use your question on an upcoming episode. Support for this podcast comes from Sun Pharma Canada. Sun Pharma is a world leader in specialty therapeutics and is now positioned to be an even larger contributor to the Canadian dermatology landscape. Learn more at www.sunpharma.com. And now, here's Jeremy Visser.
From the labs to trials to Europas, here comes Dr. Vendor on psoriasis. Don't they use that, but do try this. It's Dr. Vendor on psoriasis. Dr. Vendor on psoriasis.
Welcome back. I'm Jeremy Visser of the Chronicle of Skin and Allergy. You're listening to the Vendor on Psoriasis podcast with Dr. Ron Vendor. In our ninth episode, Dr. Vendor will be talking about a link between psoriasis and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, bimekizumab safety profiles, and vaccine hesitancy in psoriasis patients. Nine episodes. Dr. Vendor, you must be on cloud nine.
I am on cloud nine. I'm in seventh heaven. I'm some kind of number up there, that's for sure.
Our first study today looks at vaccine hesitancy in psoriasis patients and disruptions to access to care during the pandemic. What was your take on this study, Dr. Vendor?
Well, thank you very much for having me back. These podcasts are fun to do, and I hope that our listeners are getting good feedback from it and are getting good information from it as well. So, you know, when the COVID-19 vaccinations came out, there was so much unknown and so much misinformation on the internet and on Twitter and social media. It was difficult for some of these patients to understand that the vaccination is an important part of controlling the pandemic. And quite often, the patients that have had psoriasis know that there's something wrong with their immune system. And those that have been on biologics may have other issues with vaccines. So they've been told to avoid live vaccines, and they get a little bit confused as to what should be doing. And because of this, the patients that have psoriasis, whether or they are or not on biologic, exhibited some vaccine hesitancy. They needed to try to avoid all the information that was being poured at them through the media. And the dermatologists, however, were used as a resource for these patients. They explained that the biologics may be actually quite helpful during the pandemic by reducing some of the inflammatory cascade in the cytokine storm. And we had pretty good guidance as to what to do until the government started to step in and interpret these medications as immunosuppressive instead of immunomodulatory. And so there was a really unnecessary type of vaccine hesitancy that occurred in the psoriasis patients, let alone in the general population. So it's not surprising that these patients have had some misinformation about the safety of the vaccines, the potential interaction of the vaccine and their immunomodulatory therapy or biologic therapy or systemic therapy. If they were on systemic therapy, for example, there was notes that methotrexate should be stopped for a week before and 2 weeks after, a week before, or 1 week after. And I think the general consensus is that it should be stopped for 1 to 2 weeks after. With respect to biologics, since it wasn't a live vaccine, there was no need to stop it. So I think education was a big factor in the hesitancy of vaccines in psoriasis patients, whether they were or were not on biologics.
This next study looks at a bidirectional association between psoriasis and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. What are your thoughts on this study, Dr. Vender?
Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention here, Jeremy. So we know that patients with psoriasis can have fatty liver. We see that whether they have obesity or not, but we see that doing ultrasounds for our patients, usually prior to biologic therapy, but not necessarily. Sometimes when they're getting even ultrasounds done for whatever reason, let's say they may have a gallstone, this fatty liver may be noticed. And this study looked at the association of this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD, and psoriasis as well. And the problem was is that the study had a little bit of a small sample size. And what they wanted to know is if somebody had a new onset of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, would they be more prone to having psoriasis? And the hazard ratio was found at 1.07, so a very minimal slight increased risk. However, if the patient was younger and they developed non-alcoholic fatty liver disease without them knowing they had psoriasis or not, the risk was about 1.3 times a higher chance of developing psoriasis than the normal population. So the younger patients that have this are more at risk than the older patients as well. So there is this sort of this bidirectional type of association between the NAFLD and psoriasis, especially in patients below 40 years old. And explaining to patients that it can occur if they're thin or if they're heavy, just having psoriasis gives a risk for this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And then you add the bad habits of alcoholism and so forth, or alcohol to this, and then you now are exacerbating this liver disorder by adding alcoholic influences and affecting the liver. And that can certainly cause more liver enzyme disruption and liver disease as well. And then add methotrexate, for example, which can affect the liver, especially in the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is controversial whether it just affects the liver itself with or without non-alcoholic. But if you have non-alcoholic fatty liver, it's likely the methotrexate, you already have damage, so the methotrexate could damage it a bit more. So you want to be cautious in using methotrexate in patients that have non-alcoholic fatty liver by monitoring them closely.
Our last study evaluates the safety of bimekizumab in patients with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Dr. Vender, what did you think of this study?
Well, bimekizumab is the latest biologic to be approved by Health Canada. It is an anti-IL-17A and IL-17F inhibitor, and it is shown to be very effective in causing great reduction in psoriatic plaques, redness, thickness, and scale, and has a very high PASI 90 effect in patients and a very high PASI 100, likely the highest that we have seen in clinical research. Now, how it's going to respond in real life as we get more commercial and real life use is to be determined. I mean, clinical trials are one thing, real world experience is another. So we know that it works well. We know that it's dosed infrequently every 4 weeks for the first few months and then every 8 weeks after that. So it's one of those anti-IL-17s that is going to be dosed infrequently. So that is promising. But what about the potential side effects? Are we going to see something, anything different that we would see with other anti-IL-17s, such as secukinumab, ixekizumab, and brodalumab? Are we going to see something different because this is an anti-IL-17? And the answer is no. We're not going to see any different types of side effects and safety that we're going to see. However, we will likely see an increase risk of oral candidiasis, not systemic candidiasis, but oral, local, easily treatable candidiasis like oral thrush or vulvovaginal candidiasis. And that was shown in the clinical trial. And that may be a concern, but we can treat it. It's easily treated. You don't have to stop the bimekizumab to treat this. It is very rarely recurrent candidiasis. It only occurs in about, let's say on average, depending on if they're on the every 4 or every 8 week dosing, but let's say on average between 10 to 15% of the patients. That means that 85 to 90% of the patients are not going to get candidiasis. And if they do, they're easily treated. And with continued use, it doesn't get any worse. So I think that we have to be aware of this. I don't think that it's a limiting factor in using it, however, because the efficacy certainly outweighs that minor risk.
And now for some listener questions. Our first one comes from Toronto, Ontario. What advice do you have for physicians treating psoriasis patients who are vaccine hesitant?
So for vaccine hesitancy, what I do is I make sure that I get up-to-date information. I explain to them that getting vaccinated, and there's still some that haven't, or even some that got their first two and not getting their booster, especially since we don't have to show vaccine certificates very often for anything except for, I think, for travel. So the explanation and the time that it takes, it can be very, very brief. You know, you can say to them that your disease is immunomodulatory. It's working through the immune system. Your biologic that you're on is very, very specific. And these vaccines, although they're new, are safe to use. And there hasn't been an increase of side effects in patients that have had psoriasis that have been reported. And you can tell them with your patients as well. Explaining that the vaccine could prevent severe disease and death is extremely important. And explaining to them that their biologic is very, very focused.
Our next question comes from Ontario as well. The second article we looked at provides solid evidence for a correlation between non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and psoriasis, but the mechanism of action is yet unknown. Knowing the pathogenesis of psoriasis, could you hypothesize as to how they might be related?
Oh, thanks for the question, Jeremy. So yes, you know, no one's quite sure, as you mentioned, how psoriasis and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease has occurred. And so one thinking is that since psoriasis is so inflammatory mediated, cytokine mediated, there probably is an unknown shared cytokine that may increase this fat, this lipophilic occurrence possibly in the psoriasis patients. And those patients themselves may have a higher enzyme, which is yet to be, or higher interleukin that is yet to be, I say enzyme because that's what I say to patients, but this interleukins that may be causing this as well. The second thing is it's possible that there's no common mechanism and that it is a comorbidity, meaning that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease can occur without psoriasis and it may have nothing to do with it. And it may also be coincidental, especially since the hazard ratio is not that high. The third thing is that it could be due to the adipocytes possibly secreting inflammatory interleukins. I'm not quite sure.
Our next question comes from Quebec. In your experience, can the severity of certain side effects justify foregoing medication?
So, I mean, everybody is risk averse, you know. I don't think that the severity of certain side effects, for example, in the bimekizumab study, would be justify foregoing a medication. I don't think that there's a biologic that has significant enough side effects that one would avoid it for that specific side effects. Even brodalumab that has a black box warning for suicidal ideation or suicidal tendencies, which I don't believe is associated, is not a reason not to use the biologics or that biologic. One would say potential that, you know, maybe cyclosporin you wouldn't want to use because of potential hypertension, methotrexate because of potential liver damage, but they're all potential. There's no side effect that occurs in every patient. Even every biologic causes injection site reactions. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to use that particular biologic. All biologics can cause injection site reactions.
Our last question is from Manitoba. How do you approach being honest with patients about medication side effects without dissuading from using it entirely?
Thanks for the question, Jeremy. You know, you have to be honest with your patients about medication side effects. Some people will discuss every single side effect that they know. They'll go over the product monograph with the patient. Remember, at the end of the product monograph, there are patient information sheets that will share the more common side effects. I mean, a patient asked me, you know, oh, could I die from this? I go that, you know, anybody could die from anything. But I said, you know, the likelihood is that you would die more from a piano falling on your head than you will from this. I mean, it's extremely, extremely rare that you're going to die from a certain medication. Quite often, it's the individual experience that the physician has that would determine whether they're comfortable with it. So all it takes is one or two patients, for example, to take biologic X, and then the patient may have some arthralgia. And, you know, they had two patients with severe arthralgia, and they say, oh, I'm not going to use that medication anymore. I know it causes arthralgia. Well, that's just two cases. So, and that physician may choose not to use that particular biologic because they had a bad experience with it. But in general, in my experiences, which was the question, I don't think so.
Thank you, Dr. Vender. Listeners, if you have comments or questions for Dr. Vender, send them over. Send an email to health@chronicle.org. Add a voice clip attachment to your questions, and you might appear in a future episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. You can subscribe at Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced in cooperation with Sun Pharma Canada. I'm Jeremy Visser of Chronicle Companies. Your host has been Dr. Ron Vender, founder and director of Venderm Innovations in Psoriasis, a center of excellence for psoriasis offering a comprehensive management solution for individuals with psoriasis. We'll talk again next week.
Don't use that. Do try this, says Vender on Psoriasis. Dr. Vender on Psoriasis.